Okay, we are live again on a Tuesday night from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. And believe it or not, we got a pretty good crowd on hand considering the weather here. It's incredible. We got some great fans at Lake Superior, and they show up for this show just about every week. And Damon Witten's here. I'm Bill Crawford. We've got another show for you tonight. And despite the weather, we are certainly enjoying being down here at the Antlers. They got everything going on. They've got a buffet as usual. You can get all the beverages you want, and come on down and join us if you can. And if you can't, just stay with us for the next hour or so here. And Damon team didn't play last weekend, and other teams did, and obviously made some hay while the Lakers were idle. Bowling Green and the Lakers were off, and everybody else picked up some ground. So the Lakers find themselves technically in fourth place in the WCHA today, but just 2 points behind the two teams ahead of us. Bowling Green and Northern Michigan are 2 points up on us, 43 to 41 points. And then we've got a two-point lead over Bemidji, which is technically in fifth place right now. It's a pretty tight race right there amongst all these teams.
And I think Michigan Tech's just four back of us as well. So it's unbelievable how tight it is. And I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on the league and across the nation this time of year. An exciting finish, as it typically tends to be. But it's really amazing to think between that 2 through 6 range, you know, how tightly packed it is and how critical, how important games are. I know you and I were speaking off the air, you know, looking at who's going where and the matchups. And certainly there's some moments when you look at the way the league travels and finishes up where Michigan Tech and Northern Michigan play each other that last week, and there's only so many points in that series for them to do damage to us or catch or us pass or whatever. So there are some favorable matchups for us. You know, you look at that a little bit. I mean, we've got to take care of ourselves and worry about our own business. But it's that time of year where you start to pay a little bit more attention to what's going on, looking at points and looking at who's going where, travel. Northern Michigan's coming home from Huntsville after last weekend. Now they got to jump on the bus probably today or tomorrow or Thursday and head to Bemidji. So some tough travel. You know, Minnesota State still has to make a trip to Alaska, and that's not easy to do. So it's a real interesting time of year, and I think you can get pretty bogged down in those details and some of those areas. Again, we're looking at it. We're not worrying the team about anything like that. We want to worry about ourselves, continue to take care of business as we've done so far this season. And the great part is we control our own destiny. You know, we play a lot of teams that are around us in the standings. For those at home, we've got some things to figure out there with our Saturday nights. But, our worst travel's behind us. We're coming off a bye week. I know we'll get into a little bit more as the show progresses here. We've got some pretty concerning injuries and health that we're still dealing with. But for the most part, you know, with that bye week, you know, we're rested, we're fresh, and we want to make sure that we kind of utilize that and took advantage of that week so we can finish really strong here this weekend and moving forward.
Yeah, this weekend, Michigan Tech is here for two games, Friday and Saturday night. That's a huge series, obviously. Northern Michigan will be playing at Bemidji State, as Damon just said. Alaska's at Bowling Green, and Ferris State's at Anchorage. And the teams off this weekend are Minnesota State and Alabama Huntsville. And then everybody plays the rest of the way after this. And it's going to be a tough road. It's not easy to play a team like Michigan Tech. Let's get into talking about Joe Sean's Huskies right now. They're coming off a pair of tough defeats. Actually, they got a point on Friday night. They got officially a tie with Minnesota State up at Houghton, and then got beat 3-2 in overtime. And since it was the first overtime, they lose all the points right there. So Minnesota State takes five out of 6 points from Tech. So Tech's going to be hungry.
Yeah,
they are desperate at this point. They want home ice too. They're going to be a really tough team Friday and Saturday nights.
Well, I don't think results are totally shocking. I mean, Minnesota State's the class of the league. They've got an unbelievable team. I don't think they're rated high enough nationally as they should be. I think they lead the nation in wins. Their depth, what they throw at you is unbelievably difficult to play against. So, again, not shocked with the results. I think people expect Minnesota State to, they're almost uncatchable at this point, and maybe somebody gets lucky. Thought they were a little bit fatigued watching those games. They're in their bye week. week now. They probably needed to get there. But I thought Michigan Tech played really well. You know, Saturday night, they probably played well enough to win that game. And, you know, don't feel great about not taking advantage of the opportunity. Friday night, Minnesota State was pretty good. And then you look at shots, you look at scoring chances, and Minnesota State, you know, maybe they could have won that game in regulation. But I thought Saturday night in particular, Michigan Tech played extremely well. You know, if you listen to Joe and, you know, you follow their program since the GLI, and again, I don't watch them week to week necessarily, but you hear enough, and certainly as you get ready, and we have the bye week, so we have extra prep time, but they want to be harder to play against, and they're taking a lot of pride the way they've played the last couple of weeks, much better defensively, much better attention to detail. I think, you know, some of their guys are starting to buy in a little bit more about what they're trying to do through their transition. And again, he's really happy with the effort, the way they're playing defensively. So they've been outstanding defensively. They've gotten really good goaltending, whether it's been Bedoin or Jurasek, who's played the last four or five straight. And their team right now is really committed to playing a really, really stout defensive game, blocking a lot of shots, really swarming the puck and limiting scoring chances and opportunities, and it is a big challenge. And I think that along with those challenges are the fact that they just played one of the best teams in the country. So their compete level, their pace, you know, they are in game shape and in game readiness, where we're coming off a bye week where we tried to back things off a little bit, kind of bank some rest, bank some recovery, and we've tried to ratchet things back up here pretty quickly and in a kind of a fresh and short manner, but we want to make sure our pace is right back where it was when we left off, and that's going to be interesting to see how we come out on Friday in that regards.
Yeah, you always need that rest and that time off. We did have a couple of injuries too, a couple of minor things that people needed to heal up, a couple of key players there who we need in the lineup. Let's talk a little bit about that. How do we stand along that area at this point? And getting ready for Michigan Tech, they're going to be a tough team. I think most coaches would rather play right before you have a big series than be off, and yet we needed the rest.
Yeah, well, I one of the real alarming things is we didn't have our full team the whole off week. You know, we had different guys nursing different things. You know, we anticipated some of that going in. We knew we needed a couple guys to, just rest and give certain parts of their body a chance to, I won't say fully heal, because it's almost impossible this time of year, depending on the type of nagging injuries or, you know, what your body's gone through to fully recover. But as the week progressed, or as we got into the week, there a couple surprising things came up, and we were really shorthanded a couple days, and concerned. I think we'll be close to full health. And I'm not going to get into too much detail and help anybody out opponent-wise that might be following things. But, a couple really important positions, a couple of really key guys, are close to not playing or hopefully back and, rested and ready to go. So it's alarming that way. We probably don't come out as good as we'd like. And again, it didn't happen during the week. It happened leading into the week. And we really wanted to take advantage of that off time to try to get them as close to 100% as we could. But some other things crept up that we weren't really aware of, going into it. So there's some concerns there. And I won't be shocked if our lineup doesn't look the way that it has the last couple of weeks because of those things. But we're hoping for good news, and we're hoping guys can continue to progress there a little bit, and we'll see what happens there. So it's alarming, but at the same time, those things are out of your control. We've been really fortunate this year to not lose a lot of man games lost to injuries. I think Natalie Reynolds, our athletic trainer, and Nate Williams, our strength conditioning coach, have been remarkable in the job they've done of helping our guys either prevent injuries sometimes or rehab from injuries or keep guys going. And so they've done a great job for us, and hopefully they can work a little bit more of their magic to get us ready to go Friday night.
Yeah, you look at these two teams on paper. Michigan Tech comes into this series 12-14-4 overall. They are very much equal to the Lakers in the league at this point. They're a little bit behind us, but their record's much better in the WCHA than their overall record. The Lakers overall, 18-8-2, ranked 19th in the nation right now, number 17 in the pairwise. That's outstanding. And, when you look back, Lakers missed the playoffs last year and haven't been in the playoffs more than once in your tenure here. So this is a great year for Lake Superior State. And if you look at the comparison on paper, the tail of the tape, in goals for, Michigan Tech is 45th in the nation. The Lakers are number 7. Goals against, Michigan Tech's number 22. The Lakers are number 21. Power play, they are actually a little bit better, and our power play is not what it's what it was a little bit earlier. It's at 19.2% right now. Texas at 19.7%. But in penalty kill, Lakers are outstanding. 14th in the nation, 85%, 84.6, and Michigan Tech stands number 31 at 80.7. So comparison-wise, Lakers should be able to beat Michigan Tech, but hey, it's if we play it on the ice, it's
You know, it's not played on paper for sure, but you know, those are some good areas. You know, I think a couple of things that stand out, obviously our offense has you know, been really strong, and Coach Sizek was on the road this last weekend recruiting, and a lot along with a lot of other NCAA guys, and somebody kind of called it surgical, you know, and I think there's some truth to that. I think, you know, when you look at analytics and, you know, a lot of talk now about not shot quantity, but shot quality, and I think we've done a better job. A lot of that, Zach, and the job he does analyzing and breaking down the opposing goaltenders to try to exploit their strengths and weaknesses. So we have been a little bit more surgical than maybe in past years. Now we have the skill to do that with guys like, you know, Kuglietta, Nellis, and Humitz, and our D-Core contributing, other guys as well, but those are some of the key guys, you know. I think, you know, the team defense, I think we can be a little bit better there. You know, you look at the Ferris game, we gave up two late power play goals. That was, you know, it was a 6-1 game at the time. And I think, you know, there's been a couple games where we've tried to cheat the offense a little bit. You know, sometimes when you're getting the headlines or some recognition, all of a sudden you start to cheat a little bit offensively and want to kind of keep those accolades going. So I'd like us to be better down the stretch run defensively and lock that down. I think that's critical this time of year and going into playoffs. So that'll be really important for us. And we talked about power play as well. You know, I think for 3, 4, 5 months, we were, I don't know, top 5, top 8, something like that. Had a great power play, then went through a 3 or 4 week window where we were really struggled. And, you know, and again, we talked with the team. We don't care what that happened then, and I don't care about that overall number. It's how we finish. And we went down to Ferris, and I can't remember our numbers. I don't know, 5 for whatever. Had a great weekend down there, and you know, shuffled some personnel, shuffled some concepts and some structure to it, and had a great weekend at Ferris. So we're more worried about what we, you know, what we're doing right now and where we're going to be when you go to the GLI. I had a couple power play goals down to the GLI against Michigan Tech, and so we want to make sure, again, you know, numbers, you got to look at them, be aware a little bit, but it's how we finish in that regards. And you know, I think we can keep getting better there.
Yeah, you're listening to the Laker Hockey Show tonight. We're on ESPN 1400. Good to be back on our regular station after doing the program on WSOO last week due to weather, and we thought we might be weathered out again today too. This has been a tough winter in Sault Ste. Marie, but I think the bad weather is yet to come tonight for us here in the eastern end of the UP. Look at scoring on these two teams. Damon Diego's having a great year. Kuglietta's a Hobey Baker candidate. He's got 18 goals, 13 assists, 31 points. That's a great total for a Laker player at this point in the season. Anthony Nellis is right there. Had a great weekend at Ferris. Now has 14 goals and 29 points. Max Humitz, 12 goals and 27 points. You look over to Michigan Tech, Jake Lucchini is their leader with 7 goals and just 22 points. He would be fourth on the Lakers team if he were over with Lake Superior right now. And Seamus Donahue, a defenseman, has only 1 goal, but he's got 16 assists, 17 points. So points-wise, the Lakers have got some players who are really doing a great job, right down to Lucas Kybel with 20 assists and 23 points. And they've struggled a bit in that area. And you got to wonder where Dylan Stamen, who was hurt, and Jake Jackson, who's been hurt much of this season. If those two guys are on their game, they're really good players, and you know them pretty well. They're seniors at Michigan Tech.
Yeah, those were guys I was involved recruiting with, and Jake Jackson's a draft pick, elite skater, but as you mentioned, he's missed a lot of this year, and you know, and Coach Sean's talked about that, you know, that offense hasn't been there. Those are some guys that were on some really good teams over the last couple of years with Joe and before him, and you know, put up some points. You know, Jake Lucchini's got a great track record. Jake Jackson had some big years, and you know, it's funny. You just can't come back and expect to get better. You know, we talked a lot about that with our juniors and seniors. Like, you know, you're coming off good sophomore years, good junior years. It doesn't mean you just get to be better, show up, and you're going to get more points. You have to earn it. You have to stay dialed in and achieve those things. So, you know, they've struggled that way. I don't think Joe's made any bones about that they're not the offensive team they thought they could be or wanted to be, and that's why they've tried to shift to you know, a tighter structure and a bigger commitment to playing harder and playing better defensively, and they're doing a great job. You know, they had, I think, 2-3 shutouts in a row, went up to Anchorage, and I think do back-to-back shutouts, low scoring games against a high power team like Minnesota State. So you know, that's their you know, that's their commitment level right now and the way they want to play. And you know, this time of year, you have to be ready to match that. You know, we have to be great defensively moving forward here. We've been pretty good overall. We're in a solid spot, but again, I'd like us to be better. I think we can be better that way.
Yeah, you look at statistically, and I would say going in right off the top, the keys this weekend for Lake Superior State are to score on the power play and to stay out of the penalty box. I think those are two real keys for Lake Superior to have success.
Well, you know, those certainly are. You know, winning special teams battles is always so important, and you know, and staying out of the box is a big part of that. You know, there was some conversation this week with some different league members, you know, about our league. You know, we have a couple teams that are one of the tops nationally, and I'm still not sure we call enough. Like, I would like a better standard early where any lateral slash or hook to the hands, to me, you know, needs to be called, whether it's us or the opposing team. But I feel like some games have been equalized talent wise because we allow defending teams too many liberties on puck carriers and skilled players, things like that. So, you know, we do want to be disciplined. We talked a lot about that our last series, especially with that big lead on Friday. You know, you don't need a big hit. Michigan Tech fell victim to that on Saturday night. Seamus Donahue stepped up for a big hit. I'm not sure it should have been a five-minute major, but he was penalized late in the game, I think about 5.5, 6 minutes left. So Minnesota State scored on it, and then Tech was never back full strength to get a crack to kind of win that game in regulation. But that's one of those moments as a player, and he's a young guy. He's a heck of a player, Donahue. He's only a sophomore, and he's going to learn that, you know, late in a game situation like that, you don't need a big hit. You know, you want to really simplify your game, defend smartly, don't give the refs a chance to make a penalty call. So there's oftentimes when we have a 1-2 goal lead or maybe a big lead, you know, we talk to our bench, no big hits. We don't need to go out and send a message or finish a guy hard. You know, we want to play 5-on-5, shut this game down. And so, you know, I think that's something that is a good lesson, you know, to go through for our team, and we've talked a lot about it there. So really critical to play with discipline and stay out of the penalty box.
Okay, we're going to take a break here on our show tonight, our first break out of three that we'll take during the program this evening. We'll be back. We've got questions from our audience that's here with us, and we'll have more Laker Hockey Show right after this on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back for our second segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a snowy Tuesday night in Sault Ste. Marie. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. And we were hoping to get Nick Kossoff on the show tonight, but I'm not sure Nick's going to be able to make it here or not. Players of the week this past week, and obviously no Lakers involved. We didn't play, no Bowling Green players either. But Mark Michaelis, what an outstanding forward he is for Minnesota State. He was forward of the week. He had 2 goals, 3 points, plus one. In a shootout win over Michigan Tech that was on Friday night, and he was forward of the week for his efforts. Justin Beaudry, what a defenseman this kid is from Bemidji State. The senior at 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points. They had an overtime win and a 6-1 win at Ferris State. That 6-1 win's pretty impressive at Ferris. 10 shots on goal this guy had, and he's a senior defenseman. Goaltender of the week for the fifth time this season, Dryden McKay from Minnesota State. His team is now 24-6-2, best record in the nation overall. He stopped 57 of 60 shots on goal at Michigan Tech. 923 is his save percentage right now overall on the season, and his goals against average has dipped down to 1.87. Fifth time this year, Dryden McKay, who's a freshman, is goaltender of the week in the WCHA. And the rookie of the week, Owen Sillinger from Bemidji State. He had 2 goals in that sweep at Ferris State and now has 9 goals on the season, one of the leaders among freshmen in the WCHA. We've got questions from our fans here tonight, and we'll start it right off, Damon, and feed you this one. It's pretty much of a softball. How are Diego Cuglietta and Anthony Nellis, and the rest of the team for that matter, dealing with the extra attention they're getting as being Hobey Baker candidates, et cetera, this season?
Yeah, great question. You know, one thing we've tried to do is just kind of week by week as we address the team. You know, a lot of time these awards and things like that are out by Monday. I know the Calder Rookie of the Month, I think, was a Tuesday announcement. So, you know, we've tried to make sure the guys are aware of what's going on as those things happen and you know, kind of get a round of applause in front of the team and, you know, talk a lot about, you know, how it's important to support those guys. And it's been very genuine in our locker room that there's no animosity, there's no jealousy or envy amongst our teammates. You know, guys are genuinely happy to see these guys, whether it's those guys or the other guys who've been recognized throughout the year. So it's just something we've tried to address. And really the big message is, though, that recognition and those awards come when your team is successful. You know, if we were sitting here 8-18-2, believe me, they wouldn't have the awards they've had and the recognition they've had. So, you know, a couple individuals do get recognized, but it's because of the team success, and, you know, guys know that and guys have bought in. So they've handled it very well, and I think really excited for those individuals. But it comes from the team, and we try to make sure we stress that and everybody knows their role that they play in that.
Well, obviously, too, the Lakers not playing this past weekend. We don't get a lot of recognition this weekend, although we certainly have in recent weeks. And we should recognize that it is the birthday today of one of the Lakers, the freshman defenseman Jacob Nordquist. And happy birthday to Jacob Nordquist. And good job being done on Facebook by Mark Basie and Megan and all the people up there in the sports information department who keep us informed as to what's going on. 6 points between sixth place and second place right now in the WCHA. That's pretty spectacular. We kind of hit on that at the opening of the show tonight, but five teams are involved there. What do you think this weekend? You're going to lock them down on Saturday or on Friday night after the game to make sure they're ready to play Saturday night? Our home record's 0-5-1 on Saturday night, and a lot of discussion as to what's going on, and the person who wrote this said, I know some prison guards.
Yeah. Well, I think if we jump on a bus and, you know, kind of said last week, drive down to St. Ignace and act like we're back on the road. But, yeah, you know, again, we've talked about it with some individuals. One of the real positives of the bye week was having I had a chance to sit down with every player and just do a one-on-one meeting and, you know, spend time with them, you know, a little bit about hockey, a little bit about life in general. And, you know, so we brought that up in some conversations, certainly with our leadership core and then some of the older guys, and, you know, tried to delve into that topic and figure out some things. So we've internally with our leadership core made a few adjustments to our calendar that we adjusted earlier because we weren't having success early as well. You know, we don't want to make it a big deal. Obviously, it's, you know, guys are aware of it and we know. And, you know, you can't have Saturday struggles without Friday success. So we're going to focus on Friday right now and you know, try to get that critical win and then, you know, worry about those adjustments once that comes. But it's been challenging, obviously. And, you know, our guys understand it. They've got to respond. And as a staff, as a coach, I've got to find the right buttons to push and then the right way to get the message across as well.
Another question from our fans who are with us here at the Antlers tonight, and we do have a good crowd considering the weather. How important is play along the boards and breakout going to be this weekend against Michigan Tech?
Well, huge. You know, they're a team that comes at you on the forecheck, certainly with two guys, and their third forward is not afraid to come right down and get involved as well, and then they'll have aggressive deep pinching as well. And when you watch the Great Lakes Invitational game back against Michigan Tech, we handled their forecheck, you know, pretty well most of the night and led to some transition offense and some opportunities on the rush as well. So zone exits are always an area that we want to be good at. We hit them pretty hard today, and we'll address them a little bit more as the week progresses as well. But yeah, we expect to see a heavy forecheck. That's who they are. That's their identity. And, you know, we have to be prepared to handle that part as well. And then when you go to the other side of it, play along the wall, they're a team that is very aggressive in their D zone. They try to outnumber you and send 2-3 bodies. If you have one, they're sending two. If you have two, they're sending three. And so, you know, making decisions before you have the puck and knowing what you want to do with it. Some teams that play man on man, you know, you can, we call them spin back self cycles. You know, you can possess pucks a little bit longer. Michigan Tech does a tremendous job in defending in their own zone. They do not allow you to have much puck possession. So you really have to have some idea of what you want to do with the puck before you get it, because they're going to jump you and outnumber you if you don't do that.
Yeah, I think that leads us into our last question from the fans here tonight at the Antlers. Sometimes the Lakers start games slowly. How do you counteract that for this weekend? And especially when you consider you've had a week off and everybody might not be on top of their speed game right now.
Yeah, we've talked about it a lot, certainly. You know, one of the things we did, I believe it was Monday, yesterday before practice, I guess it's our only Tuesday here, we looped some habits of the way when we play well, what we look like. And so we didn't want to have a long film session finally getting back in the game week. So as the guys came in, the film was just on loop, you know, watching some of the things we do well. And again, just getting in their head how we exit quickly, how we attack on the rush, and in other areas that we think are important to our game. So trying to, you know, build positive, positive things that we've done and show them and instruct them. And then certainly, you know, almost everything we've done in practice, our conditioning, you know, the games we're setting up, the small area games we like to do, it's trying to be with quickness, with speed, because again, I like the question Ed says there, that's big. Coming off a bye week, they're coming off playing one of the best teams in the country. We have to be ready to play and match their speed. They're a very good face-off intensity team as well, really good on face-offs, and maybe not always winning it with high percentages, but their wingers are on their toes, they're jumping, and so we'll know right away based on face-offs if we're ready to play and going to match their intensity and their speed.
Well, I think the thing, too, we mentioned this earlier, they're going to be desperate. They just lost two games at home. They've lost a few other games in the recent weekends. They're down in sixth place right now, but they're really very close to being in second place. They're only a few points out. So they know victories, 6 points this weekend, is huge for them. So they're going to be a desperate team.
Yeah, and they've been through this. You know, they've been one of those programs the last couple of years, one of the best in our conference. They've been to the tournament. So, you know, they understand the ramifications of playoffs and how to play this time of year and the crunch time. And, you know, to go on the road last year and, you know, I think sweep Northern. I think they won four straight in the road or whatever, three straight maybe in the road to get to the tournament. So this is a team that knows how to win. You know, they're certainly not happy. So that desperation, as you talked about, but they've had a lot of guys who have been through playoff hockey and won big games to win a WCHA title or get to the NCAA. And, you know, our job is to not let that happen this weekend. You know, we have to be so good that they don't get that energy back, that swagger back that they've had the last couple of years. And, you know, they're close to getting there. They've been great defensively once again. And, you know, we've got to show up ready to play.
Yeah, the only time we played them this year was on neutral ice down at Little Caesars Arena in the GLI. We beat them by a 6-3, but that was a 4-3 game late in the hockey game, and that could have gone either way, too.
Well, that's interesting. You know, as you mentioned, the game, when you say the final score, it doesn't seem like it was that close of a game, but it was a one-goal game late. Now, you know, I don't know, 8-10 minutes left in the game, Max Humitz had a goal waved off that, you know, we probably thought should have counted a nice, real nice power play goal, and that would have given us a two-goal cushion and, you know, kind of taken everything off there. But it was a tight game, and I thought our first period was outstanding. I thought we were all over them, and then we turned the puck over with, I think, about a minute left, and Jake Lucchini made a great play on a wraparound to make it a 2-1 game late in the first period after a period that we really controlled. So, you know, we know what they are and they know what we are, and there's a good, healthy rivalry here. And it's going to be, as it always is, you know, just hard-fought, competitive games. And, you know, we're looking forward to it. It's a great challenge, a great opportunity. And I know Joe's excited to bring the team over. And, again, I'm worried. They know how to win. They've been here. They've been through this late-season grind into the playoffs, into the tournament, and it's going to be a tall task for us.
All right, it's all going to happen this weekend. We'll have great crowds out, I think, at Able Arena Friday and Saturday night. 7:07 is game time both nights this weekend, and we're going to take our second break. We'll be back with more Laker Hockey Show live from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for the second half, third segment here tonight, and a great crowd on hand as usual at the Antlers. Again this week, Hockey North Show didn't get on the air. Randy had troubles tonight over there lining up everybody, I think, and last week, of course, the weather knocked him off the air, so we're going 2 weeks in a row here, and we'll be back next Tuesday night as well with another Laker Hockey Show. Damon, what'd you do this past weekend? I know the team was supposed to go out to the prison, I think, on Friday and take in some action outdoors. And for the second year in a row, we get washed out of that. This year it was weather. Last year, if I remember right, it was illness out at the prison.
There.
But that's 2 years in a row we haven't made it out there. That's a big disappointment to those guys out there.
Yeah, you know, I think we'll be able to make it up. I'm not sure we'll be able to get on the ice out there and do that, because it'll, you know, time of year, we'll see, I guess, with the winter we're having, that it might still be in shape and ready to skate. But, yeah, unfortunately, with the weather, you know, school was closed, and we didn't want our players traveling down there, and not that it's all that far, but, you know, just too much risk involved driving out there. So, unfortunately, we didn't make it, and I know our guys were looking to it as forward to it as well. But, again, I do think we'll find a way to make it out there. before too long, you know, probably after our season at this point, but we'll still get out there, do something, and spend some time. So that'll be good. We'll look forward to that. But I was able to hit the road and get a little bit of recruiting in. Saw some youth hockey or some younger kids out there, and had a pretty good weekend down there. And Zach Sizek got out as well. So covered some decent ground for this time of year. It's we talk every year, you know, your bye weeks. It's always interesting how they line up. You know, you hope there's a showcase, you hope there's a big event, and fortunately we both got to see some playoff type hockey and with large participants. So we got to cover a lot of ground and see a lot of players out there. So that was really good. And then Coach York had the team, obviously. Friday was an off day. We were supposed to go to the prison, as you mentioned. Saturday they came in and did a lot of competing, small area games, things like that. Not overly physical. It was more about just wrapping up the week with some pace and some compete, and then got back to it Monday there. So a pretty productive weekend overall.
And this week, what's the real main thrust this week? I know you kind of break things down and do different things Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, getting prepared for the weekend. What are we really concentrating on this week?
Well, it doesn't stray a whole lot, you know. I mean, there's just certain basics you have to cover or you want to cover. And when we were through that really busy stretch, starting with the GLI falling on the Sunday, Monday, then the travel to Alaska, you know, we slipped a little bit in covering some areas just because we were giving guys some days off coming back from Alaska and some other challenging trips, Minnesota State in particular. And so, you know, we didn't get the time we wanted in some areas. So we're going to use this to kind of catch back up, teach a little bit. Again, still trying to be pretty fresh this time of year, but you know, hit the basics, you know, your structure away from the puck, you want to be good at, you know, your zone exits, things like that, as we always do, and then special teams. And I think that was part of what slipped. You saw that lack of power play production through some of that time, you know, maybe some fatigue, maybe some lack of practice time as well. So we really want to make sure we're getting some quality time on special teams. It's so important this time of year. It's always important, but this time of year it's magnified. And so we had a good day today on part of that special teams, and we'll use the next couple of days to continue to spend a fair amount of time on trying to again want to be who we are and do what we do, but you also have to be prepared to look at their strengths and weaknesses and try to find some ways to take advantage of what they do well and maybe some areas that you think match up well with what we do.
Yeah, we've got six games left in the regular season. The goal at the start of the season was home ice for the playoffs. That's still very much within reach. We need to win a few games here, but tough series with Michigan Tech at home this weekend. And then you go to Northern Michigan, and I know you don't look ahead, but Northern Michigan for two games next weekend. And man, they've got the sled dog races or something going on over there. I hope we have hotels lined up well in advance, because there won't be a place anywhere near Marquette to stay. But then we come home against Ferris State the first weekend in March, the 1st and 2nd of March, and that's it. We're into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, let me just start before we hit that, just reminding everybody that Check/Revive, and I'm sure you got it somewhere in there, Bill, but Check/Revive is this Saturday night, and I'm wearing my apparel tonight. So apparel's available over at Barnes & Noble. You can still purchase online. Getting ready for this week and talking to the committee, which includes my wife, but she kind of informed me that this is about the 11th year. They think the records go back 11 years, raised over $15,000 per year, about $180,000 in total in 11 years. Just remarkable when our community comes together and what happens there. So great event. Want to thank everybody who's already gotten apparel or a lot of the businesses that contribute gifts and auction items, things like that. So it's a great event, and that. Again, that'll be Saturday night. There will be a special jersey on Saturday night, jersey auctions, as is pretty typical that weekend as well. But just, again, remind everybody, come out both nights. This team's playing unbelievably well. We've got a great team, and Saturday night's going to be critical, obviously, with what's going on. So our crowd's so important to us and want to support them. So that'll wrap up this week. And then, as you mentioned, going over to Northern Michigan, haven't seen them a lot lately. Obviously, we had them a while back and have a little bit of a feel for that team. I think they've improved from their start, and even when we saw them, it was a good series. I thought we played really well both nights, and Tolvanen on Saturday night played out of his mind, and one of those Saturday nights where we didn't get the win, but like their team since then. Ballou's taken off, Loggins taken off, Tolvanen. So I think they're a better team now than they were when we played them, as I think we're the same way. I think we've improved and figured out some lineup, things like that. So that'll be big. And We just saw Ferris State, so we know what they're going to throw at us. It will be interesting to see them. I think, are they Anchorage this weekend? So it'll be interesting to see what happens there and then where they're going to be in that playoff hunt. I think they're 8 points back now of that final spot. It's challenging. You know, and sometimes you got to kind of root against people you respect and friends in the business. But, we'd much rather see a Ferris State team that's not desperate and fighting for their playoff lives than, a point or two out. But my guess is they're going to be in a dogfight to make it the playoffs, and it's never easy, and that's going to be a really challenging series as well. So we're looking forward to it, and we've been good on the big ice this year. We're back and forth if we'll go over to Big Bear and skate over there if there's availability, but those are the challenges remaining. We want to get through Michigan Tech and then really prep. I don't think either Mike or Zach will hit the road much here down the stretch run. We'd really like to have everybody around in full preparation for these series and for the importance of what lies ahead of us.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Czech / Survive in detail here too. It's something that has come down now to where it's going to be Saturday night. That's the key to it, is this coming Saturday. It used to be it was always a two-night thing with a lot of things going on in the arena, especially down in the walkway down below and even upstairs for that matter, and a lot of things to purchase and a lot of things to bid on and all. And I'm assuming that's going to be the same this year, but it's going to be Saturday night.
Yes, right. It's kind of condensed down and, for that purpose. And, but a lot of the similar things, I know there's different packages that are out. I would think those are probably on social media soon as well to kind of give people a taste. Again, the apparel stuff is all up online. And I know our players were kind of modeling that today and helping get the word out there. So those are out there. But again, a big event and a lot of the same things that people have come to, really enjoy about the event will be there. I know our guys have been filling out their I fight for cards as well. I thought that was a really touchy moment and kind of saw the Red Wings start that a year or two ago where during the game, everybody will stand up and have a chance to fill out a card and either think about somebody that they've lost in the battle of cancer or somebody that's still fighting there. So a great moment. I lost my dad to cancer and for me, it certainly hits close to home. A lot of people know what's gone on with our team this year and the illnesses and the losses we've suffered. So it'll be an emotional night. It always is. And we just ask everybody to come out and support really all weekend. But if you can only make one game, make sure you get to Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday night this weekend, it'll be Czech / Survive night. And I think they're aiming at childhood cancer this year. They generally, right. It's all about cancer and fighting cancer. It used to be pink in the rink. Now it's all forms of cancer, and a lot of the money goes locally. And childhood cancer, I believe, is the target this year. And Angie's going to be on with me after the first period on Friday night. We're going to talk all about Czech / Survive, and I'm sure she's got way more details than you and I do at this point.
Well, make sure you ask her about the power play as well while you have her on it, because I'm sure she's got some ideas in the power play. But no, it is. It's childhood cancer, and that's the theme of the color and the awareness. And, I think particularly the committee and my wife and all of us get the question sometimes, why not pink in the rink anymore? And that was really a big driving force. When the grants come out and the proposals come in for people allocating the funds raised, it was really narrow in the focus as a women's health and a pink in the rink. And now with Czech / Survive, we can be, the committee can be more flexible for needs in our community, for needs that affect, whether it's Lake Superior State or again, community members. And so I think there's a real, positive move that we can respond to our community more and allocate funds in a bigger range, because it did get tough at times to find ways when you're raising that amount of money. Some of the grants didn't hit under the what the committee was made to do. So this allows for more flexibility and again, just be more responsive to the needs of our community, which is a great thing.
Yeah, and again, you can purchase some of the clothing items. Damon's wearing the long sleeve shirt tonight. They've got short sleeve shirts. They have sweatshirts. They have hoodies. And all that stuff's on sale in the bookstore, is it not?
Yep, you can do it online. I think that's the preferred method. But if you don't, you can stop in, as my understanding, to Barnes & Noble on campus and check everything else out, but pick up your Czech / Survive apparel.
All right, then that's coming up this Saturday night, the second game against Michigan Tech. We're going to take a break. Our final of the night, we'll be back with more Laker Hockey Show right after this on ESPN 1400. Okay, our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a snowy Tuesday night in Sault Ste. Marie. Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers. And we couldn't get a player in here tonight. We'll work on that for next week for sure and get somebody in here. We haven't had Cuglietta in here yet this season. I think he's
dodging you.
Yeah, I think he's got a Tuesday night class that's only in his head. I don't think he really goes
There's
to
There's a lot
class.
Of things that are only in Diego's head, so that does not surprise me.
We're gonna miss these guys, though, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that in our final segment tonight, and then we'll get into some of the other players on this team as well. But, you know, a couple of weeks from this Saturday night, it's going to be senior night. We're going to bid a fond farewell to Nick Kossoff, Gage Terrell, Diego, and Anthony Nellis. And it seems like these guys have been, because they've been playing so much for 4 years, they've played a lot as freshmen, and they've always been a part of the lineup. It seems like they've been around forever, and next year we're going to be without these people, and we're going to miss them because they have been tremendous leadership people, not only this year, but for several years here for Lake Superior State.
Yeah, I'd love to have them back, you know, and keep them. I wish we were in pro hockey. We'd re-up their contracts. But I'm going to spin your question here a little bit before we hit seniors, who we've talked so much about, you know, the culture they've established, the job they've done, and just back up to our freshmen real quick. You know, one of the things that as I was doing individual meetings last night, certainly academics was a big part of that conversation. And I off the top of my head, what do we have, 7, 8 freshmen? I don't even know. I can't think
7.
Right now. 7 freshmen. Our freshman GPA, you know, it's first semester freshman year, so sometimes that can be an easy transition. Now, we've got 2-3 guys that speak English as a second language. We've had 2-3 guys that haven't been to school in 2 or 3 years. But those 7 guys had an average GPA of 3.7, like unbelievable, great start. 3 of them, 4, yeah, exactly, thank you. 3 4.0s in there. I'm missing one on the top of my head, but Jacob Nordquist, Melvin Carlson, both 4.0s. Ashton called their 3.9. So, you know, our culture is strong. So as much as we're going to miss these guys, they've done an unbelievable job to welcome these freshmen in and show them the way we expect our guys to attend class and be part of our community. So feel really good about that part of it. But our seniors have been, you know, so important to our program. These are guys that, you know, again, Diego, when I first came here, he was the first guy, one of the first guys I called and said, I want you to come in right away. And he had committed to go back to Merritt. He honored his commitment to be a captain and go back to Merritt in the BC League. Fortunately, we were able to get him committed and join us. You know, Pete Aubrey went and saw Anthony Nellis and Gage Terrell and, you know, and Nick Kossoff. So Pete and Rich were a big part of this class and bringing them in, which is, you know, did a great job. You know, you never know how things are going to turn out, but I couldn't imagine not having these guys. They've grown so tight. They're going to be missed. I'm going to drop a little bit of a bomb here. Bill, I just told you off the air, but for everybody, Steven Ruggiero will be graduating. You know, we were hoping to get Steven back for another year, but with his transfer and some of his hip and injury issues through his transfer from Providence back to junior hockey, he's not eligible for a final year. So Steven will graduate and sign and go play pro hockey, which is a big loss for us. And so, you know, we're going to honor him senior night for sure and be a part of that ceremony. You know, it's unbelievable he hasn't been here longer because it feels like he's been part just like those guys around. Steven obviously is a great player on the ice. We're going to miss that. But as you know, and some of you know, the energy he brings, the loudness he brings is going to be, you know, maybe the toughest thing to replace. And one of the NHL guys was just talking about how important it is to have energy on your bench and not fake, false bravado, whatever. But Steven is loud. Steven is energetic. And, you know, he always injects life into anywhere we are. He's our music guy. He's always playing horrible music. But, you know, he's going to be missed as well. So he'll become one of our seniors. But, you know, the job Nick has done, what he's gone through here, his development. He was a Hockey Humanitarian Award nominee. You know, he's another one of our 3.9 GPA student athletes. These guys have been everything to our program. I couldn't be more proud of you know, what we're seeing, you know, the way they stayed committed, the way they stayed loyal. Some guys did not make it through with this class, and you know, we'll be thanking them as well. But what they've done, you know, these guys has been just unbelievable for our program. So, you know, our challenge is to finish as well or better than what we've gone. You know, we break our season down in 10 game segments. We're in that last, I think it's 8 games, because I guess going into playoffs. But we're 2-0, and you know, we want to make it special for everybody, our fans, our community, you know, the history of our program. But these guys in particular, you know, they deserve to go out in the right note, and so I hope we can continue to play at a high level. So you know, you can't say enough good things, what they've gone through, what they've stuck with, what they believed in, to be part of turning this thing around and really getting it going speaks really high about the character they bring, the work ethic, the talent, all those things. And it's going to be you know, we won't replace them you know, with freshmen coming in and maybe even some guys on roster aren't going to fully replace what they brought, because as Bill, you said, they've been through so much here. They were such key guys early on, that it's going to be challenging. Now, I think we have enough. We mentioned the freshmen. You got Humitz and Gelsinger, you know, our whole decor beyond Stevens eligible to return. So, you know, we'll worry about that probably a week or so after, senior night and graduation, but, you know, they've meant a lot, and we wouldn't be sitting where we're at without, the contributions that you see from those guys night in and night out.
Yeah, you look at a young guy like Alex Samandal, he'll be able to step in and he'll at least be a body who'll replace a Steven Ruggiero. But if you're only going to lose Steven Ruggiero on defense, I mean, he's a very valuable part of this team. And I agree with you, I think, in every respect that he brings, because he brings a lot more than great skating ability and puck movement ability out of his own zone. But Alex Samandal will get more of a chance to play now. I think this will open a door for Mitch Oliver, who I think is a good player from what I've seen in practice. I think he can help this team next year. And hey, you've got some other kids in the wings too, and there are some defensemen there who could come in and add some depth as well. Defensively, that'll be a strong point, I think, next season, despite the fact you're going to lose Ruggiero. Up front, you know, the way these guys have played, with Diego and Anthony Nellis being strong Hobey Baker candidates, and the season they're having scoring goals and getting points. And, you know, the last maybe six games, Gage Terrell's just been tremendous. I mean, not only he doesn't score a lot of goals, but it's the plays he makes and it's the things he does. It's the diving to clear the puck out of your own zone when you're shorthanded and blocking shots and all those things. He's a heart and soul Laker.
Heart and soul. I mean, the way he's played has been outstanding. Like you said, he's not maybe not getting the recognition because the point totals aren't by those other two seniors and some of what Nick's doing, but Gage has been as important or more important than those guys. You know, the trust level he plays in all situations. You know, if we need a goal late, he's on the ice. If we're down, up a goal late, he's on the ice. And his attention to detail defensively is just so good, and just fully committed. You know, he's willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice for his teammates, give up his own body. Extremely competitive kid, a guy you win with, and he's done a great job. So, you know, again, they're all big losses, but I think we're in a good spot. You know, you mentioned the decor. I'm not saying that's the only guy we'll lose. You know, again, good conversations individually with everybody, and I think, you know, as of today, you know, everybody plans on returning who's eligible to return, but you get a contract set in front of you, things like that, you never know. And you know, I'm not going to be surprised if a couple guys, you know, are going to face that decision. But, you know, I know their passion is to be here. They plan on coming back. So it's early for all that, you know, but certainly senior night against Ferris State that Saturday night will be, you know, it's going to be a tough ceremony. You know, what we've gone through with these seniors, with this team, and what they mean to, you know, myself personally, what they mean to the program, you know, is really, really important to our program. And it's going to be an emotional night, as it always is. And these guys are great Lakers, and we're really going to miss them.
Yeah, they've made this program much, much better by being here and sticking it out. And this is the best team we've had in a long, long time this year. And they're all seniors, so they've been on some teams that weren't so good as well. And I feel real good about Nordquist and Pete Violette and some of these freshmen we've got, Melvin Carlson. They know winning right now. They're winners.
Yeah.
They're in here at this level, and they don't know the losing end of it. So these other guys do, and they understand what it takes to win, and that's why they're good leaders at this point.
Yeah, no, they've changed that culture, like you said, whether it's the academics we just talked about, you know, team GPA 3-4, you know, carrying ourselves around socially in this town, which is not easy, you know, a small town, and a lot of people know who they are. So they've done a really good job of establishing that, and you know, we're forever thankful. So those freshmen will be part of that. You know, we mentioned some of the sophomores and juniors who will continue to evolve and step up, and be real good opportunities for some guys, and then, as you mentioned, some of the freshmen coming in to replace these guys. You know, there will be some big roles available, which probably wasn't the case this year. You know, for guys coming in this year, and that's been different for us. We've not really had a year in my time here where our freshmen coming in, you know, didn't have a chance to really, you know, grab a top six role or, you know, things like that. This year, we were able to bring our freshmen along the way you'd prefer to do it, you know, a little bit more carefully, and put them in situations they could be successful. And I think you're seeing some of the dividends of that with the way Ashton's playing, and Pete and Melvin and Jacob, he's kind of done that all year. You know, we got guys like Miro still waiting to get in more regularly, and I'm sure I'm missing some, but you know, a lot of good things down the pipeline for the future that we'll see more and more of, and we're going to need to be really good when we lose this class.
Well, it's been a good year to this point, and let's hope it continues this weekend. Michigan Tech's going to be a tough test. Going to Northern is going to be a little bit tougher, I think, even than that. And then we'll come home against Ferris State, and they'll be a desperate team. They're going to be playing Huntsville at home next weekend. If they could win there, they could still grab a playoff spot, and they'll be awfully tough that last weekend. But that's the way you want it. You don't want to be playing cupcakes. You want to play. It's competition. That's why we play the game. And it's going to be very competitive the next 3 weekends.
Yeah. And be prepared. You kind of hit it, Bill, just before. You know, they changed the expectation, the senior class, and probably around the national program game when we went down there, and in one handle was the score, 6-3, 7-3. We had a
7-3,
a big win. The next couple weeks, they went out and beat number one ranked St. Cloud. They beat Duluth on that their trip out west there. Then the GLI, you know, our team changed. You could see the difference there, and they talk about it as a team a lot. You know, we expect to win. When we go into Minnesota State, we expect to win. Now, in the difference being maybe this year than past years, when we expected to win in past years against maybe teams below us, we didn't play the right way. Now, not only do we expect to win, but our leaders have us playing the right way. Diego goes out and plays the right way. Gage goes out and plays heavy, hard, manages pucks. All those things that are so important to do for you to have a chance to win, they do it. So not only do they expect it, but they go out and execute it and earn it. And that's certainly a big change from where we were, and we owe it to those seniors. So, you know, they did a great job. And they've set a great culture for us, and they're leaving it in good hands. Hopefully that's 6-7 weeks away as we keep playing and going on a run here.
Yeah, we want to get into the playoffs and go somewhere there as well. The goal at this point is to win the WCHA championship and get into the NCAA tournament. All the players on the team will tell you that. Damon, good job here again tonight. We didn't have a game this past weekend, so there wasn't that much to talk about, and yet there was. We're past our time to get out of here. Matt Pocket, great job engineering here. Emily Pentecost back at the station. For Damon Witten and all the fans here at the Antlers, Bill Crawford, so long till next Tuesday night on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.